This is James C. Ingebretson speaking from the Freedom Center in Los Angeles. To you, the fellow members, the supporters, and the friends of the Committee to Proclaim Liberty, here is the story of how you helped breathe new meaning into our greatest national holiday, influenced millions of Americans to pause on Independence Day 1951 to give thanks to God for liberty. The idea of freedom under God expresses the very spirit of America. And yet in recent years, many of our citizens have lost sight of this great truth, have forgotten what the founding fathers of our country had in mind when they wrote the Declaration of Independence. In the preamble to the Declaration, the authors stated what they believed to be self-evident truths. Among these, they said, were that men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What was meant, of course, was that from God come the great laws that govern man's secular life as well as his spiritual life. It follows, therefore, that no man-made government, nor any other man-made force, has the right to interfere with this God-given freedom. Man cannot live as a child of God unless he is free. That was the point on which the Committee to Proclaim Liberty took its stand. That was the committee's message to every American. One dramatic form which this message took was the coast-to-coast radio broadcast, which you are now to hear.
My country is a place sweet as the liberty of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cried.
Happy birthday, Americans. This is Jimmy Stewart in Hollywood, speaking for the Committee to Proclaim Liberty. Next Wednesday, July 4th, will be the 175th birthday of the United States. Now, it's only right for us to celebrate Independence Day with all the usual American trimmings, ball games, picnics, and good, clean fun. But the Committee to Proclaim Liberty asks you to take time out from the festivities to do three things. First, stop a moment and say thank you to Almighty God for our heritage of freedom. Second, read over again, and I'll bet a lot of you haven't read it since you were in school. Read once more the Declaration of Independence. That's what this 4th of July celebration is all about, independence. And third, rededicate yourself to freedom under God. Without Him, the freedom you have now may not last you all your life. We've been a little careless over the years about giving up some of our freedom without getting anything really worthwhile in return. Make a 4th of July resolution that from now on, nobody is going to chisel away any more of your God-given rights so long as you have only to exercise your vote to prevent it. Wherever American servicemen face danger, there you'll find members of the Chaplain's Corps. Captain Arthur E. Mills is the first member of his corps to come back from Korea for hospitalization in the United States. He was wounded twice in frontline action. Now, there could be no more fitting invocation for an occasion like this than a prayer offered by a brave man, Chaplain Mills.
Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth and father of all peoples, humbly but confidently we approach thee to return our thanks for thy blessings. Among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We are eternally grateful that our national history reveals reverence for thy will. May our future progress exalt thy divinity and procure thy blessing. Our hearts rejoice that we are created equal to pursue the dictates of our conscience. May we accept without reservation that our freedom is a divine heritage, that it has become immortalized because it has incorporated the longings of each heart. Individual equality is thy law of love, hence readily acceptable to every unselfish individual. We realize that oppression and greed have been the hands that strangled peoples and privileges in other lands. Their progress and humanitarianism have been choked, but here liberty has provided advancement. We gratefully acknowledge that under thy blessings, liberty is next to immortality. O eternal God, continue to invoke thy blessings upon America, that our goal will always be more than materialism. May the love for life and liberty be hallowed by thy purposes. Direct our national and civic leaders that their policies involve more than finite reasoning. May our past 175 years of liberty inspire and create future reverence for liberty. O Lord God, may we vicariously share the fear, suffering, and misery of those Americans fighting in Korea. As they covet our prayers, so may our intercession for their protection and for their performance of duty and an enduring peace fulfill not alone our selfish purposes, but an eternal aspiration. May their high hopes, gallant sacrifices, and instinctive longings be rewarded by our diligence to duty, love for freedom, and vigilance. May we resolutely keep that which they cherish most, liberty, homes, and nations, preserved by thy protection. May our one desire be that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
To those of us who know him best, Bing Crosby is more than just an entertainer. We respect him as a conscientious, responsible American citizen. Recently, Bing came up with some ideas on the subject of Independence Day, which we thought he should repeat on this program. Here he is.
94 years before the American colonies declared their independence from England, a great man made this statement. People who are not governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. Can any of you guess who said that? Well, I'll give you a little hint. The city of Philadelphia thought so much of the wisdom of this kindly man that they put a giant statue of him on top of their city hall. Although he was born and lived his whole life as an Englishman, he was one of our first great Americans, William Penn. Old Father Penn, from whom our state of Pennsylvania took its name, recognized nearly a century before the American Revolution that not from the king, nor from the parliament, nor any individual, nor any group of men, but from God, springs the ultimate source of authority in a society of free men. Like the signers of our Declaration of Independence, William Penn knew that when the nation's final authority is vested only in men, tyranny is the result, and there can be no escape from it. William Penn knew that freedom under God is the only kind of freedom that is permanent. Thomas Jefferson and all the signers of the Declaration of Independence knew it too, and you and I know it. This 4th of July, our country is 175 years old. Now, that's not very old as nations go, but it's long enough for us to have shown the world that Americans know the most important rights are the God-given rights which no power on earth can take away from us, so long as we remember that they are God-given. This 4th of July, of course, there'll be fireworks, under parental guidance, naturally, and fried chicken and watermelon and the usual happy family gathering at the Crosby home. But also there'll be a little time devoted to giving thanks to the Heavenly Father that we enjoy one of the greatest privileges in the world, the right to worship Him as we please, and live under his guidance as free citizens in the United States of America.
This morning, 17,000 clergymen announced from their pulpits that at noon on Independence Day, all the church bells will ring out across the land. And the Committee to Proclaim Liberty earnestly hopes that you will follow your minister's suggestion that this should be a moment of thanksgiving to God. And now, Mr. Lionel Barrymore reads the preamble to the Declaration of Independence.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they're accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it's their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security.
From Ralph Bradford's narrative poem, Heritage, Roland Bradley has selected verses and set them to music as a chorale. Here is baritone Stephen Kamalian with our choir in a work composed especially for this broadcast. Heritage.
What is my heritage?
America!
What is my heritage?
America!
America, the land I
love! America! America!
The sky, and of the wind and rain, and of the mind of man, and I will sing of it again, and I will sing of it again, and I will sing of it again, will sing. heritage over. Was mine in perpetuity, was mine in perpetuity. God and the fates were good to me. When I was born, for I was free. When I was born, for I was free. My fathers had been well content as they subdued a continent. With axe and plow and gun and knife, with axe and gun and plow and knife. To see the in such a way of life, bear fruit in such a way of life.
Bear fruit in such a way of life.
For they were zealous to protect their rights as free men and
reflect.
The whole.
A few weeks ago, a special resolution was passed in the Congress of the United States granting citizenship to a courageous woman. Most of you will remember how a couple of years ago, Oksana Kazankina jumped from the third-story window of the Russian consulate in New York. Well, tonight, a great American actress, Gloria Swanson, is waiting to introduce her to you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Oksana Kazankina really knows the true meaning of the words freedom under God. When she was only 21 years old, the communists uprooted her life and destroyed all the things which, as a Christian, she had been taught to love and respect. And since communists are atheists and do not believe in God, this is the one thing they could not take from her, her faith in God. To tell you what happened to Madame Kazankina, between the revolution of 1917 and that day when she arrived in America 5 years ago, would be repetition of a story you already know. You all know the familiar pattern of Soviet contempt for individual rights. But as she sailed past that most famous of American landmarks, the Statue of Liberty, she felt for the first time in nearly 30 years that somehow in this strange new land, her life would begin anew. But just being in our country, where the individual has more freedom than in any other place on earth, didn't mean that she could share our freedom. Living in the Soviet consulate in New York, Madame Kosenkina was just as much a prisoner of the Soviet state as is any individual living in Russia. But there was one great difference. All around her, she could see freedom in action. Free people going about their daily tasks, voting as they pleased, complaining about the things of which they disapproved in their government, and most important of all, worshiping God, each according to his own conscience. Freedom is the natural birthright of all living things. When you see it all around you, you can't help wanting it more than anything in life. And so, quite naturally, Oksana Kosenkina wanted a share in the freedom she could see from the windows of the Soviet consulate. But as a Russian, her very wish was treason. A desire as strong as hers is impossible to hide from the people you live with. And the others in the consulate began to suspect her. She was watched constantly. But you can't say goodbye, comrades. I've decided to become an American. And then walk out of Soviet territory just like that. At last, desperation brought her the courage she needed. Although it might cost her life, she knew what she had to do. She jumped to freedom. You all know the rest of the story. Madame Kosenkina was gravely injured, and the Russians did everything in their power to get her back into their custody. Whatever other faults Americans may have, we always admire and respect courage and the individual's desire for freedom. We didn't let the Russian communists take her back. And that makes me just a little more proud of being an American. Today, Oksana Kosenkina is a new citizen of the United States. And here she is, sitting right beside me. Madame Kosenkina, it makes me very happy to have the privilege of introducing you to millions of our fellow Americans who are listening to this program.
I am very happy, Miss Swanson, to be an American. It is a great privilege to help celebrate our country's birthday. America has given me what I wanted most in life, freedom. Freedom under God.
It isn't very often that we Americans have a chance to hear directly from one of our military commanders speaking from his post of duty. And tonight, the Committee to Proclaim Liberty is fortunate in being able to bring you from Tokyo the voice of General Matthew B. Ridgway.
It often seemed to me, while in command of the 8th United States Army in Korea, that the world does not recognize that deep spiritual truth, the almost incalculable significance of spiritual values. Yet these values are the ultimate determinants of success. However well equipped with the finest arms that science and a loyal people can provide, no army will long succeed without those spiritual values. Its members must know in their hearts that it contends for honorable principles, that those dear men and women who bred them believe in and seek to live by those principles. However well supplied with all that science can devise and industry produce, no nation will long endure without that spiritual code to guide it, without moral fiber, without integrity, wisdom, and courage derived from our Creator. We in the Far East Command are your representatives. We believe you have confided to us those things you hold most dear. We think we recognize their spiritual values. We think you do likewise. We pray for the strength to follow them as fearless, upright men and women, humble only before God. we think you pray for that, too. On one occasion during the past winter, I had spent a night with one of our corps commanders at his advanced command post deep in the snow-covered hills up front. I was up before a trace of dawn. The temperature was below zero. The stars fairly snapped and sparkled in the black, moonless sky. Some campfires were burning, casting the leaping shadows of soldiers' silent silhouettes across the gleaming snow. I stood still and thought. Here in this bit of far-off earth, cupped in by these foreign hills, there burned a bright, warm flame, lit and nurtured by free men whose frigid bodies it warmed and whose spirits it raised and comforted. Beyond its warming circle, I thought, silent, hungry, and cold, the eyes and souls of other men and women and little children must see its glow and yearn for its warmth, must wonder as they yearned, would these strange, generous men, unconquerable in combat, compassionate in camp and town, let this fire languish and die? Would they keep faith and fire burning until the sun of freedom rose once more, when these others could take up their toil in honorable peace? These unseen few beyond the fire, symbols of millions of others around the world, seemed rightly to ask some questions. Do you from those great favored lands across the seas perceive the issues for which you here with us contend? Will you in this our day of decision and yours fail or forsake us now? We have your answer ready. We shall not fail you nor forsake you. We believe we perceive the real issues of which freedom for all peoples is a living symbol. We believe the issues are clear. We believe these issues are whether or not man has certain unalienable rights given him by his Creator. Whether these sacred rights shall be extinguished and man himself enslaved to serve some human master. Whether these sacred rights are to be preserved at whatever material cost for however long a struggle. Whether we are to survive with the dignity of individuals created in the image of our Maker, with God's hand to guide and lead us, or to perish in the deadly existence of a godless world, recreant to every decent code. These, I think, are but some of the spiritual values which give meaning to this particular 4th of July. These are some of the issues which bring a realization of the value to us and to all men of the freedom proclaimed in 1776, to which we now rededicate our souls. That value is unrestricted as to time or place. It is universal. It is ageless. Those great men who in 1776 appealed to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of their intentions, who, placing firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence, pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, laid the foundation upon which this nation has grown and prospered, and by which it has attained to leadership and responsibility. For them there was no confusion of thought, no uncertainty of objectives, no doubt as to the roads they should follow to their goals. Theirs was a deep and abiding faith in God, a faith which is still a great reservoir of strength of the American people in this day of great responsibility for their future and the future of the world. May we recognize and cultivate those spiritual values by which alone our America will last. May this people under God, with the faith of our fathers and with trust in Him who sustained them, pray for the wisdom to see, the integrity to choose, and the courage to pursue the right as God gives us to see that right, however great the material sacrifices and however long imposed.
Oh, let us understand and know.
broadcast and other activities of the Committee to Proclaim Liberty during this week in which we celebrate the 175th anniversary of our independence is to remind every American of his birthright. Remember that freedom is God's gift. Without his help, we cannot save it for ourselves or our children. Our soloist tonight was Stephen Kamalian. The choir was directed by Dr. Charles Hurt of the University of Southern California. Irving Talbot conducted the orchestra. If you wish to obtain a copy of General Ridgway's talk, just send your request to Liberty, care of Postmaster, Los Angeles, and it'll be sent to you without charge. This is Jimmy Stewart saying good night for the Committee to Proclaim Liberty.
This is James C. Ingebretson again. The thrilling broadcast to which you have just listened was but one of the many activities of the Committee to Proclaim Liberty, founded on the invitation of Dr. James W. Fifield, Jr. as founder director of Spiritual Mobilization to commemorate the 175th anniversary of our independence. On Independence Sabbath, approximately 30 million men, women, and children attended their place of worship. Several weeks before, their pastors, priests, and rabbis had been contacted by the committee. The result? Tens of thousands of sermons were preached on the theme, Freedom Under God. Then, on July 4th, church bells rang out at noon, symbolizing freedom under God. At the same time, all across the nation, the great words of the Declaration of Independence sprang to life. For the Committee to Proclaim Liberty, with the full cooperation of Spiritual Mobilization's 17,000 representatives and its nationwide resources, had suggested through the press, through radio and television, through billboards and hundreds of thousands of posters, brochures, envelope enclosures, personal letters, and other messages, that every American participate in this great observance. Independence Day, 1951, was a day of spiritual rededication on the part of millions of Americans. This heartwarming response gives us renewed hope for the future of America. Yes, freedom under God will save our country.